Okay. Takes me just a little bit of time to just get this thing going. And we are now focusing on program number 46. We're in the externalization of the hierarchy. And we're beginning on page 448, and we've been talking about, I think I'll move this over to here. We've been talking about what the Christ will do and how Christianity is different from churchianity. Yeah. And we are recording. Well, it takes a little while to get used to this new platform. Okay. So the Christ will be responsible for a newer and more effective presentation of the coming world religion, and for that the churches should prepare. If they have enough illumination, and that's, you know, hopefully where students of esotericism come in, because they've been searching for the light, the real light, for a long time. If they have enough illumination to recognize their need and his, the Christ's effort to meet that need. It takes a long time when you're so certain, you might say, of your particular dogma. A long time to meet that, to meet that need. All right. And trying to make this just a little bigger. If possible. Sorry for the for the delay. Okay. Today, a balance must be reached. I need to just get this. And this will take place through the medium of an enlightened statesmanship and through a political activity which will be based increasingly upon the good of the whole of humanity and not benefiting any one nation in particular. Well, we sometimes see that. We've seen that now in some of those countries who have managed to, through discipline and clear explanation, avoid the worst consequences of this COVID-19 virus, at least so far. We see a great example in New Zealand and in a few other countries, and we see egregious examples in certain other countries like the United States, which through negligence and egotism lead the world in deaths and the number of cases. So an enlightened statesmanship instead of a benighted partisanship not easy to achieve, but possible. That we have so much growing up to do as a humanity. And that growing up has to happen fast. I mean, at last it's time for a little bit of maturity to enter the equation. The balance will not be expressed in religious terms. I'm reminded that the 12-step programs such as AA, they speak of spirituality, but not so much of religion per se. So this balance will not be expressed in strictly religious terms and in so-called spiritual terminology. Spirituality and spiritual terminology can be far apart, as people who spout a great deal of spiritual terminology are far from being spiritual, you know. It will express itself through group work, through conferences, through leagues of nations, such as the United Nations, now page 449, organized parties and legislation. I feel inclined to put that antidote up there. The old ways of expressing spirituality through religion are coming to an end. It's Piscean, it's sixth ray, it served its purpose. It reoriented humanity towards the ideal. But there's a lot now to be taken care of in organizing and reorganizing the physical plane, circulation, reestablishing the divine circulatory flow. All of this, will be the result of an intensive activity of the masters and of their disciples. Initiates are their disciples too, upon the first ray of will and power. Upon the first ray, yes, of will and power. So let me see if I can. I'll pause this for a moment. Tuya, I'm recording and. Oh, I'm sorry. It's going to come out on my screen now. I left the phone a little bit on, but I'll call you as soon as I'm finished, okay? Is that all right? Okay. Okay, I'm sorry, occasionally a telephone call comes in and, both Tuya and I are working hard on the teaching in different ways and we communicate by telephone in the same house. So excuse me for maybe a little lapse there if it did record. So the intensest activity of the masters and their disciples, and they're getting ready for that. It's no picnic, their appearance on the earth. And Master DK says, can you imagine the horror that dawns upon the Christ as he faces what he must face to take a physical presence in his Maya Varupa on the densest plane and among the sons of men. So the intensest activity of the masters. The quality of their work will be to express the will to good, which is the origin of goodwill. What is the good? Along with the beautiful and the true, there is a certain completeness of relationship and a display of the highest values found in the good. It has something of the second ray in it as well as the first. It is a rounding out wherein many apparently diverse values are brought together and are mutually complementary. Of course, philosophers have taken a long time trying to describe what is the good. In a recent lecture, I dealt with trying to define the good, the beautiful, and the true at the most recent cyber conference that we've had. Anyway, it's a Jupiterian thing in a way. It's of the monad. And thus they see the world in large terms, expansive terms, with a broadened horizon. To the uninitiate, they may at times seem isolated in their actions and overpowerful in the decisions which they reach and which they then proclaim to the world, much to the irritation of the little-minded and those who interpret freedom in terms of their individual, unenlightened point of view. We have a lot of that today, and the little minds, little hearts, you know, it's inevitable, of course, at first. They don't want to be stretched overly much. It's a bit like elastic. It bounces back to its original position. It is painful to grow. And that's a particular type of pain which a vast majority wants to avoid. The good is just too big, too comprehensive, too inclusive, too Jupiterian. Not that alone, but that's a part of it. The Greek philosophers did so much along those lines to try to understand what is the good. They are, however, these first-ray disciples working under spiritual direction as much as any religious leader, and this will increasingly be recognized. One of the great victories of the Lords of Form, the Black Lodge, says DK, is to have successfully defined spirituality or the good as only that which emanates from the churches, thereby cutting out 6/7 more of the possible presentation of divinity. It's not only along the line of the sixth ray that divinity arrives into the cognizance of those who are seeking to understand what it is. We have to broaden out and in the age of Aquarius, we will remember that Jupiter is the esoteric ruler of Aquarius and characterizes the approach of the disciples. Aquarius holds for us many possibilities to go beyond our parochial perspective. History will justify their actions because they will have given a trend to world affairs and to human thinking, which will work out in a clearer perception of necessity. You know, Saturn comes along and teaches us what is truly real in terms of the divine plan. There is that which we desire and that which we need. They can be very different. What they do will evoke discussion and oft-times disagreement, as have the decisions of the Yalta Triangle of Workers. He certainly does include Uncle Joe there as a worker. Well, I guess we can say that without Russia's great sacrifice during the Second World War, necessitating that the Nazis fight a two-front war, the outcome of that war might have been very different. But they are so constituted that they do not resent this. They know the discussion evoked and the criticisms raised will reveal the inherent smallness and separative instincts of their opponents, and at the same time will evoke the banding together of those who see behind the apparently high-handed initial effort, activity, an effort to precipitate with clarity the issues with which humanity is faced. So they are large-minded, these first-ray workers, at least the ones that have risen above egoism, and pettiness, and they do not react as emotionally as some do. They have a deeper understanding. They are not so narrow. They are not so reactive. They are utterly necessary in the bringing into manifestation of the divine plan. Thus, humanity can be brought to understanding. You know, I keep on thinking about Roosevelt and how he tried for so long to push a very unpopular point of view that the United States had to get involved in World War II, or what became World War II. And I guess the 1917 involvement in World War I, I think it was Woodrow Wilson, well, there was finally the necessity for the states to enter, at which time I believe a planned intervention by the solar logos was held back because humanity was beginning to solve its own problems in that respect, but through great sacrifice, of course. Thus, humanity can be brought to understanding. These are the things which the triangle at Yalta attempted to do. Did they seem high-handed? Did they seem like they were taking the management of the world in hand, at least of the Western world. Probably to many they did. Well, you know, Roosevelt was an Aquarian in the sun sign sense. And with Virgo rising, you know, so he cared about the so-called little man. Stalin was either the last degree of Sagittarius or a Capricorn, with Scorpio, I think, as the rising sign. A much more dangerous chart in a certain way. And interestingly, Churchill was a Sagittarius with Virgo rising, just like Roosevelt. So, you know, Virgo looks out for the worker as much as the Soviets of that time trumpeted the value of the worker. It was really Roosevelt who did something for them with his New Deal. And maybe Churchill was more of an aristocrat. He certainly contributed greatly later to the intellectual strengthening of England, of Great Britain, of the United Kingdom, with his History of the English-Speaking People, which I think won a, was it the Pulitzer Prize? It was a prize in literature. Well, okay. The Triangle attempted to do this. I know we're looking back at history in 1945, 46 period. It's a long time ago. It's some 75 years ago from the time this is being made, but these were moments when apparently the soul of humanity was triumphing. And when the forces of evil had been at least driven back, now they have to be driven back further, they have reemerged through the negligence of the victors and through those old materialistic tendencies which made even the victors susceptible to the hidden temptations put forward by the lords of form. Anyway, about this triangle, these they may not have consciously recognized as the work asked of them on account of their discipleship, Stalin included, apparently, but they automatically worked this way because they correctly sensed human need. So many people associated with the hierarchy, or maybe with Shambhala, these are all, it looks like, disciples of Shambhala, have given up their knowledge of their interior association because they would accomplish more without the distraction of knowing their origin. It seems strange. Now the hierarchy wants people of this nature to know their origin, their inner affiliations, to increase further the quality and effectiveness of their work. These, such people as this, they were and are handicapped by the fact of their own humanity, you know, the usual human foibles. Ataturk had them, FDR had them, Stalin certainly had them, Churchill had them. They're handicapped by the fact of their own humanity, which makes them liable to make mistakes. But they are far more handicapped by the facts of human selfishness and national greed, and by the general low level of human attainment, viewing humanity as one whole. So they are pioneers. They may seem imperious, impositional, high-handed, arrogant, taking too much prerogative, but in the long run, they pave the way to a better civilization. Having made the issues clear, as they see them, having evoked the enthusiasm of the men of goodwill in the world, and enthusiasm, the breathing in of a god, sort of means that, and the violent criticism of those who think in terms of partisanship, nationalism, and prejudice. Just look at the United States today. The experiment of the conference in Mexico City was undertaken with success. We're on page 450. It was realized that there was an ascertainable measure of hemispheric unity upon which the statesmen, not just politicians, but those with a wider point of view, upon which the statesmen could count. And thus a federation could be created for the far more difficult international conference to be held in San Francisco at the time of the Waysak, the full moon of the Buddha. I hadn't realized that. In 1945, apparently, there was a lot of inner assistance in getting the United Nations going. Not for nothing is this conference being held during the 5 days of the Waysak full moon. At least he's counting 2 + 1 + 2. A 7-day count is also possible, and for the masters, an entire lead up to the full moon, and then a distributive work until the new moon. It will be a time of supreme difficulty in which the forces of light will face what I call the forces of selfishness and separativeness. This is the fate of those who live on this planet, the symbol of which is the cross, but fortunately the encircled cross. That tells us something about our progress. The circle is not yet above the cross, nor is the cross above the circle. But we are divided by the cross, which can be synthesized by the circle. And it must be during this impending age of universality, which is dawning. Subjectively speaking, the conference will be under the direct influence of the hierarchy. We're looking at history here. The consequent stimulation of both the selfish and the unselfish aspect will evoke a tremendous emotional and mental potency. It is therefore essential that all aspirants and disciples throw their weight, the weight of their spiritual development, and the light of their souls on the side of the forces which are attempting to plan for the good of humanity and who regard the welfare of the whole as of greater importance than any national situation or demand. So when we have such well, separative models as America First, we know we're really working in an anti-evolutionary manner. The hierarchy is international in its sympathies and in its efforts. Forget not that the forces of evil are still powerful. That is somewhat what has happened. There has been a forgetting. The man swept away the devils from his house, but then he forgot that they were still powerful, and more entered his house. Forget not that the forces of evil are still powerful, particularly on the physical plane, and that there are many channels through which they can work. Well, we tend to want to forget the subtle dangers around us. I'm looking now in this year 2020 of how people are choosing money over the health of millions. As long as their money supply is not threatened, then thousands, hundreds of thousands, and even the death of millions is acceptable to them. Obviously, these are third-rate personal values and are retrogressive, having nothing to do with what must be emerging, a real welfare system, a concern for all members of the human race, that they at least have a chance and can get off the garbage heap when looking for food. Germany is defeated, but is still capable of a final effort of destructiveness and violence. This is 45, you know, it's, what was it, May 8th that the war in Europe came to an end? So this is still 2 months before that. And of course, there was a lot of work going on the atomic bomb, and that work was interfered with by the Lords of Liberation. Not in the United States with the Manhattan Project, but in Germany. And the V2 rockets were raining down on London. The buzz bombs and causing loss of life, considerable loss of life. Japan is well on the way to defeat, but is still powerful. And then, of course, the use of atomic energy through the atomic bomb landing in two places, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Brought about the surrender. Whether it was karmic or not, that use did not affect Germany directly in terms of destruction, but it certainly awakened those in power to the potential destruction that could lie ahead, unless there was an unconditional surrender. Japan is well on the way to defeat. Germany is defeated. The hierarchy of evil on the inner side is being pushed back by the forces of light, but its grip on humanity has not relaxed. So even up to the bitter end, there was power of the lords of obstruction, if we can call them that, on the physical plane, and people fought to the death to defend against all hope their country. Maybe you've seen, what was it? The Volkssturm, the army of children and very old men expected to give their life at the end to protect the Führer, you know, hopeless. But there was a grip of the forces of evil upon the people still. And Japan only very stubbornly and slowly gave up through surrender. There were those against it, of course, because they knew their own fate if there was surrender. Warlords like Tojo and so forth. It is through ignorance that these forces can still attain much power, just as in the United States now, and other countries that imitate it. Important countries, United Kingdom and its several countries, and Brazil, maybe Hungary at this time, where dictatorship is seen as more desirable than democracy. It is through ignorance that these forces can still attain much power. The ignorance of humanity itself. And things are not that much different now. I mean, humanity is ignorant, by and large, of the larger issues in which it is perforce involved. A narrow horizon defines the consciousness of so many, and is it only through suffering that that horizon will be expanded? Nations and people, peoples, nations and people are still ignorant of the true nature of each other. The world is full of distrust and suspicion. Not much different than today. Humanity as a whole knows little about Russia, for instance, and it still is a great obscurity. But, you know, in a way, opening up to the world through art and science and many achievements. The true significance of its ideology is misunderstood because of the initial mistakes of those who engineered the revolution. I suppose the brutality of the Bolsheviks prevented humanity from appreciating the possible value of the socialistic point of view. The license, you know, beyond law, the license of unruly men in the early days gave onlooking humanity a wrong slant on what was happening. A misinterpretation entered, obviously. And people determined that they must not allow communism to enter their country. Well, in the form in which it was being enacted, that's understandable. But in the form of looking out for the community as a form of socialism, it has been partially adopted. social democracies do exist and successfully exist, with many advantages over those who call themselves democracies. But those days are over. In the fires of suffering and through deepened understanding, this great and composite nation, 451, will advance towards a demonstration of brotherhood, which may yet set an example for the entire world. Well, you know, even the word comrade, you know, it has a good connotation. It's been distorted. So many abuses of the communal idea, enforced communality, theft, prison, torture, theft. I said that, I think, theft, yeah. The theft of the lands, the war against the peasants, a forced communism. No. No wonder the world rejected it. And Mao Zedong was responsible, I guess, for far many more deaths than Hitler. Mao Zedong, with his cultural revolution, and before that, with an uncompromising need to impose his conception, his ideal, upon the people. And then came those who were educated in France and went to Cambodia and killed millions. The killing fields came into the consciousness of humanity, just merciless imposition of an ideal, unshared by those upon whom it was imposed. China needs a full literacy. Well, by now, I think it's very close. Highly educated, highly intelligent country of 1.3 billion or something like that, at this time anyway. Her citizens as a whole know nothing of other nations. That's not the case now. On a higher turn of the spiral, that educational supremacy which distinguished an oligarchy of learning in the days of China's ancient glory will again distinguish the masses of people. So great future, you know, the third ray is intelligent. It is the personality ray of China, a personality sign and ray, Libra and the third ray. And then we have Taurus, the sign of enlightenment for the enlightenment of the people. And maybe, you know, the great enemies of Buddhism, under the rearrival of Confucius, will become friends of the essence of Buddhism, carrying the light. So it's a great nation. And modern in many ways now. And even capitalistic in many ways. But DK is not too fond of capitalism, raw capitalism. He says capitalism has emerged and wrecked the world, quote unquote. Not a very rosy analysis. The great continent of Europe and the British peoples are still unaware of the real significance of the Western Hemisphere and of the United States, with its exuberant youthfulness, and I would say now in process of being tamed by realism you know, youths can remain exuberant because they overlook so much. And some people will preserve their exuberance even though they see, and those are the real victors. So the Europeans and the British and the Americans, they find it as irritating. As their deeper maturity and wide experience proves irritating to Americans. Well, this is the contrast between Americans and the British and Europeans. You know, the Americans seem naive. And now worse. Everybody wanted to come to the land of promise, America, but it looks like it's much more than the land of promise at this time. Unfortunately, or fortunately, it is the heir to the Piscean sixth ray civilization. And as a result, there's much ignorance displayed by many of the younger souls who have been born as Americans now. Souls of less experience, of course, unless we have reincarnation as an acceptable hypothesis, we will not understand the root causes of what works out as these class battles and political battles and so forth. Americans, both in the northern and in the southern hemisphere, are still basically ignorant of the history of the nations from which they spring, because they have laid the emphasis upon their relatively brief history and have been brought up on a biased and oft prejudiced picture of European culture and of British aims. We should remember the aims of the United Kingdom and Great Britain. I serve. That's their motto. It's a mature motto. And not too specific. There are so many ways to serve, but in terms of the law, fair play, justice, that service can come through. America lights the way, as the gift from France, the Statue of Liberty, seems to indicate. So ignorance is the great sin, isn't it? At least Buddhism considers it so. This ignorance throughout the world plays right into the hands of the forces of evil, and beaten as they now are on the physical plane, they will give more violent battle to world goodwill on the planes of emotional decision and on mental levels to those ideologies which are of benefit to the whole of humanity. It's a psychological war now involving mind and emotions, and it is raging and maddening in part, as one thinks one should have learned these things and the value at this time of democracy and not of egotism. But it's as if the tower has to fall, as in the tarot, before a little humility begins to take root and can lead into the probationary period and the period of discipleship, and finally into the fifth kingdom of nature. The kingdom of souls. Physical plane methods have resulted only in the complete devastation of Europe remember 80 years ago, of course, 75 years ago, and in casualties which, if civilian men, women, and children are included, amount to untold millions. The forces of evil will now endeavor to utilize the character of humanity as a whole at its present point of development to hinder the forces of light, prevent the attainment of world tranquility. I don't think we've had much of that in the 20th century, even after the Second World War. To prevent the attainment of world tranquility and world understanding, and thus delay the day of their own final defeat. You kind of wonder, you know, looking ahead at the true judgment day in the fifth round, it's only then that on our planet, all those remaining and not transferred to the inner planes or to Mars are on the path. And this means that for quite a while, the forces of evil in whatever form will be with us. There's so much to find in humanity which can be utilized. So let everyone be aware, come aware of that within oneself, which can subtly be used by the powers of obstruction. So often when we say, well, that's just the way I am, it indicates a refusal to want to change. A refusal to even want to change, let alone change. And the glamour grows. And the illusion grows. So vigilance with respect to one's own individual nature, and vigilance with respect to the nature of the group or groups with which one is affiliated. Now, we're talking about the defeat of the Black Lodge. There are these defeats that occur in stages. And most of these defeats until the judgment day, when the sacredness of our planet probably will be established, or at least far more established than it is now, all the penultimate defeats are temporary, and the Black Lodge reasserts itself. Either in terms of planetary evil or cosmic evil, as was involved in the recent Great War and in Roman times and in times of the French kings, and I think through the Axis powers. So this defeat, when accomplished, must include the three worlds of human evolution. You know, the three-headed dog, Cerebus, has to be killed, or at least brought under tight control. So defeat on the mental, emotional, and physical plane, and different workers will work on one or other of those planes, trying to bring about this defeat. It's not, maybe some few will work on all those planes effectively in a simultaneous manner. So every area of the personality has to be covered. And the forces of obstruction dealt defeat on each of these levels. For long, these evil forces have used psychology, indeed, mass psychology, mob psychology, subtly working, deluding. For long, these evil forces have used psychology in order to reach the ends they had in view, and used it with amazing success, because the mass is malleable and mass consciousness easily absorbs these streams of influence which flatter and which point the finger of blame at others, preventing people from looking inside themselves. These forces, they are still using it and can be depended upon to employ its methods to the uttermost. So we try to look around us and see how the Black Lodge is working. You know, when you start turning everything upside down, as is happening, upside down and backwards, which is happening in the United States today, you know there is affiliation with the forces of retrogression. They use the press and the radio, whatever we have now, in order to distort human thinking. This is glamour, the distortion, page 452. They present half-truths, impute false motives, and rake up past grievances, foretell with foreboding imminent difficulties. They foster ancient prejudices and hatreds, and emphasize religious and national differences. This is one of the major ways that they are working. So let us be observant. Be observant. They use the press. And yet, there was a motto of one of the leading newspapers, ignorance, democracy dies in darkness, easily memorable. 3 D's, democracy dies in darkness. And dictators don't like it when they are called to task by a vigilant press. And we have much distorted thinking today. Distortion and not right proportion is the sign that glamour is present. The half-truths, the many, many lies, outright lies, the deliberate misunderstanding of the so-called enemy and raising up false motives to motivate those on your side and not letting the past go, but trying to have it there before your face so hatred results, planting fear in the consciousness. The prediction of the future in a manner foreboding. So prejudices and hatreds of an ancient kind arise. And differences of religion and nation arise, but also the wrong-headed will to combine them with religion in a superior position, however narrow it may be, and however rejected by other citizens of the same nation. So this is the imposition of limitation. In spite of much shouting, the Tibetan says, demanding and proposed organization, there is no truly free press anywhere. What a statement. Well, we know the press has bias and is owned by certain wealthy owners, and they use it as a propaganda sheet. Propaganda, which has nothing to do necessarily with the truth. And all of this, there's no true free press, particularly is it absent in the United States, where parties and publishers dictate newspaper policies. Even worse now, I would say, 80, 75 years later. Now there's a war against what the press may reveal. There's a lot of real intelligence in the press, but there's a lot of fear of the press. All dictators fear the press, and kings and those who have, in a way, usurped power. The main reason why there is no really free press is based on two factors. First, the fact that humanity is not yet free from its predetermined reasonings. That's prejudices, right? Its basic ignorance of factual history or of nations and their psychology. There's something we can do using the destiny of the nations to help people become more aware of the psychology of the nations. We started this EUN, Esoteric United Nations, Esoteric UN, to learn really more about the different countries and their populaces, their populations. It's oftentimes really enlightening. So poorly known is the nature and practices of various countries, and maybe more so in the United States than anywhere. Humanity is still controlled by racial and national bias and by prejudice. Secondly, the fact that all this is nurtured and kept alive by the forces of evil, working upon the inner side of human affairs and dealing mainly with the psychological angle, because it is so exceedingly potent. This they will increasingly do, as they are doing now, as the planetary war, which is more than Second World War, draws to a close. The war is still raging, and the last-ditch fight of materialism has emerged. So, they will seek to offset the work of the hierarchy, to hamper the activities of the new group of world servers, and to cloud the issues involved to such a degree that the men of goodwill everywhere will be bewildered and will fail to see the clear outlines of the factual situation, distinguish between what is true and what is false. Forget not, the forces of evil are exceedingly clever, cunning, instinctually knowing what the animal and man wants, and the display of their approach is now frequently to be seen, even at this time, in the two great democracies under the second race soul, the UK and the United States. They are exceedingly clever. So the forces of evil will keep all these low tendencies alive, and we have to recognize that and recognize how to convey convincingly that fact to others who just don't see it. And here we have, you know, in general, the psychological approach. Astute psychology. This is not the psychology of the soul, is it? This is a cunning, intelligent psychology which seeks to preserve the prerogatives of an ambitious personality. Right before our eyes, it is unfolding. DK predicted it, and it is happening. As the destroying aspect of the will of God nears the accomplishing of divine purpose, I guess the result of the war, basically, the will to good can emerge with clarity and dominate human affairs. Men will strive, even compete with each other to do good, says Master Moria. It'd be quite a different approach, wouldn't it? The egoistic repayment, the egoistic motive will vanish for many. Out of the immensity, page 453 here, out of the immensity of planetary evil, demonstrated through the destructive war of the past few years, last 31 years, 1914 to 1945, to the masters just a few years, great and permanent good can come. The spiritual hierarchy stands ready to evoke the good latent behind the work of destruction which has been done, but this can be so only if the goodwill of humanity is employed with adequate invocative power. If this goodwill finds expression, two things can occur. First, certain potencies and forces can be released upon the earth, which will aid men's efforts to attain right human relations, with its resultant effect, peace. Secondly, the forces of evil will be so potently defeated that never again will they be able to wreak such universal destruction upon earth, though there will be battles. And some of those battles are of a highly esoteric nature, even the battle between the concrete mind and the higher mind. So out of this immensity of evil, and we've seen enough of the documentaries and enough of the art based upon fact to let us know how terrible it was, even if we did not experience it directly. I mean, those who fought in that war are in their 90s now. There's not so many of them remaining in incarnation. So goodwill must be expressed, and if it is expressed, the potencies leading to peace can be released, leading to the good, leading to right human relations, and result in peace, they can be released. And the negative forces, really, at least temporarily, driven back. Well, he begins maybe a new subject here. And so it is time, I think, for us to call this second program as if complete. Not really complete, but you know, it's something. We have the advantage, of course, we are 75 years ahead of when most of this material was written. And so we can see how the predictions worked out. And there's still much ahead that is not predictable. But no doubt when Master DK comes out with his third installment, we will see the trend and what looked good in the eyes of the hierarchy and what failed. So, I think 448 is where we began, and we're on page 453. I'm still, you know, just a little bit wary of this setup because it's new and one certainly doesn't like to spend an hour thinking about things and interpreting them only to find out it didn't take. So, thank you everybody. And this is probably a bit more than an hour. And let's see if I can do this correctly. So we're going to stop the recording and move forward. It's interesting, you know, Master DK is a secondary master, but he says he has something of the first ray in his triad, whatever that really means. And he has first-rate students in his ashram. And so he often speaks of first-rate matters, even though he's pretty much on the second ray and the third ray to an important extent. He's got the 1, 2, 3 of it, really. And 5 masters in his ashram. So we see that in these essays in externalization of the hierarchy. We see the yoga of synthesis from the first ray aspect in the Agni Yoga teaching, and we see the beginning of the yoga of synthesis from the second ray aspect, given what Master DK has written. Okay, let's hope for the best here, and we'll see you later for program number 47. We don't know how long it is lasting, 1 hour and XX minutes. And yes, pretty much page 453. That's as far as we've gotten. Okay, lots of love, many blessings. and let us proceed.